Refugee camps for Rohingyas in Myanmar. The government stands accused of cutting off food as people are dying every day.
A young pregnant woman came. She looked in pain. She is due to give birth any day, but she's come to this hospital and there's nobody here to look after her.
On this week's In Focus, we travel to the camps to find a people in desperate need.
We lost all of our dreams. We lost our homes, our hope. So now we are homeless, hopeless. So we have no futures.
Refugee camps for Rohingyas in Myanmar. The government stands accused of cutting off food as people are dying every day.
A young pregnant woman came. She looked in pain. She is due to give birth any day, but she's come to this hospital and there's nobody here to look after her.
On this week's In Focus, we travel to the camps to find a people in desperate need.
We lost all of our dreams. We lost our homes, our hope. So now we are homeless, hopeless. So we have no futures.
Back in 2012, I was one of the first Western journalists to arrive in Myanmar's eastern province of Rakhine State. Violence had recently erupted between Rakhine Buddhists and Muslim Rohingyas. The destruction was shocking. Both sides blamed each other. The international community and the Myanmar government called it community violence. What was clear to me at the time, and what has subsequently been accepted, is that what is really happening here is the ethnic cleansing of the entire Rohingya population, and that the Myanmar government must take responsibility for it. Now I was to return to Rakhine State. It was rainy season, and for 2 years I had heard stories of how Rohingyas were being withheld all rights and being encouraged to leave the country. We headed straight to the camps. The Rohingya and Rakhine populations have been completely segregated. Tens of thousands have had their houses burnt and now live in ramshackle huts or tents with little or no sanitation. Some elders greeted us and took us inside to talk. Even though Rohingyas have lived in Myanmar for generations, the government refuses to grant them citizenship, agreeing with local Rakhines that they were foreigners from neighboring Bangladesh. They call them Bengalis. Bangladesh won't take them either. As we walked through the camp, a baby is brought out to us. The child's mother died 2 days ago in childbirth. These people say that with proper medical attention, she would have lived. Every day, Rohingyas are dying simply due to the lack of medical care. The government says healthcare is being provided. We went to a nearby hospital to find out. We asked for doctors. There weren't any. Nurses? None. We looked around. Empty. This used to be a government-funded hospital. Now, just an empty husk.
While we were at this hospital, a young pregnant woman came. She looked in pain and her family looked in great distress. She was due to give birth. She is due to give birth any day, but she's come to this hospital and there's nobody here to look after her or to help her give birth.
A couple with their small child turn up. Like us, they ask for help, but found none. The woman has a nasty infection, the child a high fever. I asked them where they would go now. Home, they said. Where else can we go? and it's not just medical care that isn't going through. Every day, emergency rations are given out, just enough for each family to survive on. We understand these aren't from the government, though. These are from local Rohingyas nearby, just helping these guys get by. The elders confirmed to me a story I'd heard before coming here, that no food is being given by the government and international aid is not reaching them. There are accusations that the government and the local Rakhine population are stopping food getting through. Are they trying to starve the Rohingyas out of the country?
And whose responsibility is it to give them food?
How can I say? It's responsibility of all. The government, international community, and the community around this camp.
So why is the government and the international community not giving enough food?
I cannot say that. That is a question of their own. But some international organizations are trying to give enough food. But there are some restrictions in the access to the camps.
What kind of restrictions?
That someone do not want them get access to the camps. That is, there are some extreme group of people.
Which group of people?
That who do not want Rohingya in that place. To say exactly, the Rakhine extremist.
Usually organizations like UNHCR, the World Food Programme, and Médecins Sans Frontières do a fantastic job of supplying emergency aid to groups as in need as the Rohingyas, but not this time.
Until recently, this was the office, the headquarters of Médecins Sans Frontières, but that was before it was attacked by a group of Rakhine locals. And it wasn't only this building that was attacked, but also the headquarters of various other NGOs, including that of the United Nations.
Local extremists have become angry at these groups for helping the Rohingyas. Instead of protecting the aid organizations, the Myanmar government sided with the locals. It kicked Médecins Sans Frontières out of the country. For many Rohingyas, the only hope for medical attention. Since then, other aid groups have been seriously restricted in their work and become afraid of criticizing the government.
Government can give these IDPs more trouble if the government wish. So we have to say to thanks to the government that refugees are not what you'll call wiped out or killed.
2 years ago, I met this Rohingya leader in the capital, Yangon.
Who's doing the killing? Is it
Rakhine mobs, you see, unscrupulous or what you call hooligans or militants.
And what is the army doing? Are they doing any of the killing? Are they arresting people? Are they torturing
the
people?
Killing is what you call aided by the security forces. Three forces, police, NASAKA and paramilitary.
What do you mean aided?
Aided means they encourage. They don't prevent the Rakhine people. Somewhere they shoot the people somewhere. In the name of curfew, they shot a lot of Muslims in Mongdong.
2 years ago, you were blaming the government for being behind the violence. Now you're thanking the government.
Thanking because they do not kill us. They have the power to kill us all, but they are not killing en masse. So I am thinking that is not that the government is not behind the crisis.
Now Rohingya groups are trying to work with the government with little success. They are also trying to drum up international support. Few care.
Are you in danger here?
I feel insecure for giving this interview to you. Yet it is truth. The world should know the truth. What happening in Rakhine State? It is hidden. Not many people know about the real nature of these problems in this crisis in Rakhine State. The state policy is that to depopulate Rohingya from Rakhine State.
I was here
2 years ago, just after the conflict was at its height. And at that time, this whole district was rubble. Now, 2 years on, nature has won out, and you never know there was a thriving Muslim neighborhood here at all. Nearby, we had arranged to meet a Rakhine, otherwise known as Arkanese politician.
We all Arkanese knew that those are illegal immigrants. They are not our natives, but still the time there was not a word Rohingya. In the British record, there was not Rohingya. Their nationality is only Bengali.
Though we may be from the original stock of Indian people, but we have been here for many generations, many centuries. So we have our own identity, our own cultural, linguistic, and economic life, separate life. We cannot understand Bengali, and Bengali won't understand us. So we have a separate identity, you see. We are entitled to claim that.
They can come very easily here. So they settle here, first thing. Next, the Burmese government block them. They don't get a chance to go to mainland or Myanmar. And a Muslim man takes 4 wives. There are so many children. Their ambition is to have more population here. If population more population here, they can occupy this land. This is their political ambition.
Do all the Muslim men have 4 wives?
Generally, but I mean generally, but some have more or less, but generally they can. But I'm an Arkanese. I only 1 wife. My wife is Do Inu. 1 wife, one family.
Views like this are rampant in Myanmar, and not just in Rakhine State. Absurd untruths about Muslims are widely believed and are promoted by the government. We went to a Buddhist monastery for some enlightenment. I asked the head monk why Rohingyas were being attacked.
Phairai kotara ga de budhi do maudo ma shi e phongi chauti go khana khana bodha bada phongi chauti go khana khana muslim di ga min chho re ye dutiya tacha ga bodha bada amyo thamin di go khana khana ma de chang ya grandfather yon ground ne si phairai mu.
At the beginning of the crisis 2 years ago, a Buddhist woman was allegedly raped by Muslims. Then 10 Muslim leaders were killed in retaliation. Cue ethnic violence unhindered by government intervention.
Before the violence, we are living together. We love them. We are working in our house. We're living together. But as I say, I dislike this riot, violence. But after the violence, our mind becomes different, quite different. We're loss of trust. We lost our trust. And you see in the world media, those Bengalis are killing themselves. They are suicide, there are so many suicide bombers. They are fighting Iraq and Iran so many times. Everywhere, in southern Thai, they were fighting the government, and even in the China. So how can we believe then? After the riot.
Muslim Tayauma, Mingma Ngaya Kraya Shi, Yaga Tatami Linga Se Phai Linga.
Why do so many Muslims rape women?
But we are
innocent people. We are not fighting with them.
Is there any evidence for that?
Oh, quite clear. They have photos from the satellites. The government has put them in the newspaper.
Do you believe everything you read in the newspaper?
They are trying to global terrorism instigated by the those living in Afghanistan. The Taliban and Al-Qaeda are trying to donate these lands. This global, they are global tragedy. Very terrible, very terrible. Very fearful for all the nations of the world, including you.
Another common accusation with no basis in fact is that Muslims are creating terrorist camps in the region. So why is the government allowing this hatred to persist? The answer lies in Rakhine State's own problems with the central government. Rakhine is one of the poorest areas in the country and has for years had a latent independence movement.
If our Arkanese people don't stand on their side, this land will be lost. This is only in the hands of the Bengali. So I think they make some problem between the between the Bengali people and Afghanese people.
The government.
Maybe this is my personal opinion, but
because I've heard that before. That, so do you think the government has created problems between
sometimes.
Rakhine and Muslims.
Occasionally.
You said that you suspected the government was trying to create conflict between the two. What I've heard is that because the government has lots of different nationalities, it's hard for them to keep the country together. Therefore, they've supported Rakhine against the Muslims to make Rakhines like the central government more. Do you think there's truth to that?
Your idea may be, I think, very close to the truth, Baba. But this is your idea. But but every government has its own interests. They are creating their own interests. But your idea may be right.
Across town, we were taken to see a Rakhine refugee camp. Many Rakhine houses were also burnt down during the Troubles, although not on the same scale as for the Rohingyas. I have been to many refugee camps around the world, and by this one, I was pleasantly surprised. In some parts, it resembled more a holiday resort than a refugee camp. Who gave the money to build all of this?
Saudi Sabora Sura Maga Yai Saudi.
But they're very nice houses. Is there any problems with them? A Rakhine woman then showed me around her temporary home, in stark contrast to the ramshackle huts and tents of the Rohingyas. She also told me that Muslims were receiving massive help from the government in terms of healthcare and supplies. She told me that the Rohingyas got the best food and the leftovers were given to the Rakhine. I asked her whether she had seen a Rohingya camp. She hadn't. Absurd rumors continue to be believed by most. We traveled back to the Rohingya camps.
There's over 1 million people in this series of camps. But this is the only school. Not often you see children desperate to get inside their school.
Inside the school, a people struggle for dignity amongst dire poverty. Their uniforms are well kept and the timetable is strictly adhered to. But only a tiny minority are able to come.
And why do the Rakhine people hate Rohingya?
I don't know. Because we are live here. So together for long times. So our grandparents, our grand generations are live here for many years ago. But why did they hit us? I don't know. But we cannot hit. We cannot hit them because we live together for long times. But why did they hit us? I don't know.
Amongst the Rohingyas, it is clear who they blame instead. Provocations continued to happen. The day after we left, we were told that a Rohingya was shot dead by police. It was impossible for us to verify.
And did you see police officers and army shoot Rohingya?
Yeah. Army or police? All together. I saw with my eyes. They hold their shields. So they march the first route. Then the Rakhine terrorists told gas lines, so fires, so SWAT. They shoot and they cut all off.
Yeah.
So they protect by them.
They protected the Rakhine people, yeah.
The biggest tragedy for these children is their futures. These children are lucky enough to get into this school, but after they finish the school, what do? They don't have ID cards, so they can't go to university. If things don't change, they'll simply be stuck in these camps for the rest of their lives.
They will become a very isolated and estranged community there, because their children won't have any communication with outside world. These children will become some sort of wild creatures there. without education.
On agreement of anonymity, the head teacher wanted to give our viewers a message. The day after filming this, three security officers from the Myanmar government came early to our hotel. They informed us that they had been to see everyone we have talked to for this film. They told us that if we filmed again or talked politics with anyone, we would be expelled from the country. The government doesn't want this story getting out.
It is impossible for us to leave peaceful commission. It is better, status quo. Because if they come to us, they will suicide bomber. We are quite afraid of them. They will start this. But for the time being, not for the long term, for the time being, it is quite good to live separately.
So what's the solution now?
The thing is that, as I say, these illegal immigrants must be scrutinized according to the law. And if someone has said right, they will have here. But if someone are not illegal immigrants, they should be sent to other countries, or they should be sent to their motherland, Bangladesh, or they should be sent to other parts of Myanmar.
I want to request all international communities to take serious attention of this Rohingya issue. To solve it, a final solution within what you'll call time frame. Otherwise, it will become a serious problem for the whole international community.
Since the conflict, 2 years.
2 years.
What do you see as the future happening? What's the end of this?
I can say this, the futures, because we lose all of our dreams, we lose our homes, our hope. So now we are homeless, hopeless. So we have no futures.
We just want basic human rights. If we can live freely, we can eat freely, we can walk freely, we can move freely, we can get education freely, that is sufficient for us. So for these simple rights, I think the world can engage with Myanmar government to secure these people, these simple rights.
So what's your message also to the Americans, the Europeans? It seems the international community doesn't really care.
My message to them is, they pretend to be really generous, humanitarian, and there are a lot of humanitarian convention declarations at international level or in United Nations. But these covenants, declarations, protocols do not come in practice. So what I want to appeal to Western countries to put in practice to materialize the objects of those declarations.
Back in the capital, Yangon, political change is afoot. After over 20 years of military rule, a democratic movement is fighting to be heard. Aung San Suu Kyi, after 15 years of house arrest, has been released. She, however, has said nothing in support of the Rohingyas. What's more, international powers have said little or nothing too. Yangon is moving away from its former ally China and is opening up to the West. The country has yet to be exploited for its huge resource wealth. Western governments and businesses are circling, afraid of offending the Myanmar government and afraid of losing out on lucrative contracts. Western powers are loath to criticize the Myanmar government. The Rohingyas have few friends in the world willing to help them.